Hello and welcome to our December Exceptional Speaker Bonus Call, powered by Exceptional Connections. I'm so glad you're on the call with us today. I'm Cindy O'Neill-Dady, the founder and chief connector at Exceptional Connections, where we offer monthly Exceptional Connections networking luncheons, as well as quarterly educational skills shop for networking mastery classes. We are very excited to announce the launch of our Vancouver, Washington chapter this October, November, and December, featuring the amazing Brittany Nelson as the new Vancouver chapter connector. Our exceptional speaker bonus calls highlight our monthly Washington Woodinville chapter speakers who graciously agree to share their brilliance with our ECN community and beyond. So I'm going to mute a couple people here that have just come on. And right. So Karen, this month I'm excited to highlight the amazing Karen Koenig. Karen was the 20-minute spotlight speaker at our recent December 10th Woodinville, Washington luncheon, and it was a real treat to have her share her wisdom and humor with us. We're excited to have Karen share her lively and fun talk, The Five Money Types. So to set the expectation on this call today, Karen has graciously agreed to share with us for the next 20 to 30 minutes. We will then open up the call for Q&A, so be sure to write down your questions and save them until after Karen's talk. So we'll plan to finish by 1 p.m., so be sure to stay on the line until the end of the call, as we'll be sharing with our listeners ways to connect with Karen, as well as exciting opportunities being offered to our ECN community. So Karen has over 30 years of experience in male-dominated fields. She spent 26 years in the military, 6 years in aerospace, and then changed careers entirely and went into financial services in 2015. Busy girl. In the military, Karen rose to the rank of major and figured out quickly that she can't command people, but learned that she can only advise and guide. She then took that experience into the aerospace industry, and not only did she advise and guide, Karen learned it was not about perfection, but about getting the job done well. That's like a Girl Scout, right? not only to continue in corporate America, Karen then opened a financial services business. There, she has learned, along with other experiences, that success doesn't mean self-sacrifice, but to stand in her own power and what she believes in. It is my pleasure to turn this call over to the wise and witty Karen Koenig. Take it away, Karen.
All right. Thank you, Cindy, and welcome everybody to the call. So today I'm going to talk about the five money types and kind of help you figure out what are you. But first, I'm going to talk a little bit about my background. So Cindy did tell a little bit about I was 26 years in the military. I started out on the flight line working as an electronic mechanic with a bunch of men in the 80s. So you can imagine what that type of environment was. And then later on transitioned into being a project manager at Boeing, and I started down in Tucson. And again, I wasn't working with men. I was working with men, but I was actually supervising men. So I was the only female that actually was supervising a whole entire crew of all men. So I went from being in the military, being supervised and working with all men, to changing around and actually being the supervisor. And then I just decided, you know, before I turned 50, I wanted to do something completely different. And I jumped into financial advising, and I've never looked back because I own my own business and I just have a great time doing it. And through that, I wrote a book back last couple years ago, and I launched it in December of 2018. And when I did my talk on Tuesday, that was the exact date that my book was released, was December 10th of 2018. So December 10th was my 1 year anniversary, and I've come a long way since writing the book. You guys don't have the slides in front of you, but I've been featured on several podcasts. I've been interviewed on the Money Hour with Tina Mitchell. She's local. CUTV News, that's the gentleman that does the Judge Judy radio talks. I've been interviewed on Cairo News for the Women in Business American Express. Had a little blurb on Cairo 7. I've been featured in a couple of magazines. And then I also have a talk that's up on the Fave Lifestyles website. And I know a lot of you know Karen Ray and her Fave Lifestyles. So that kind of just lends some credibility to what I've been doing. And through that, I developed a coaching program that I've launched. And then I teach the five money types. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. And the biggest thing about knowing your money type is everybody has a relationship with money. So you either, you established it when you were young in school, you learned how to count, you learned how to do work with money. I remember back when I was in grade school and we had to learn, you know, dimes and nickels and pennies and figure out how many of those were in a dollar. So, and then as you grow up, you kind of learn, you know, money gets me things. So, you know, I started out as doing babysitting when I was 12 so I could get some extra cash because my mom was a single mom with four kids and obviously she could only afford so much. So the other thing is you witness your parents' relationship with money. So in addition to me having to supplement my own or my mother's, I kind of saw what was going on with her being a single mother with four kids. You know, obviously her relationship with money was one where money was tight and she could only, you know, spend so much. And my parents were divorced at the time, and my dad would kind of swoop in at Christmas time, and he would buy all the expensive gifts. So I learned to always ask for the expensive things from my dad and the, you know, in-between things and the everyday things from my mom. And I look back on that, and that's probably not the best way to do that because I'm sure it made my mom feel bad, but that was kind of our relationship, you know, my relationship with money at the time. And then you have beliefs and patterns about money. So I've had millennials come into my office and they say that they do not want to follow in the footsteps of their parents. There's a lot of people out there that are in their late 50s and 60s who have not done anything to prepare for retirement and they live in the moment and or they have their business and selling their business is basically their way of taking care of themselves. So these gals just said, hey, would you be our financial mom? Because we don't want to walk in the footsteps of our parents. So that's the relationship that you have with money. And then through the five money types, I have a quiz that I can send to you guys after the call. And basically you have a dominant money type. You may, through listening to this presentation, say, oh, that's me, or, oh, there's a little bit of that in me. And you may think that you fit into all five of the money types, but you definitely have a five money type, a dominant money type. And then usually you have a secondary money type. And then you basically just use the types to recognize patterns in the way you spend and receive money and to recognize patterns actually in your clients. It's a very good way to figure out why they're not buying from you or why they're so quick to buy something from you without you really telling them what you're selling is. So the first money type is called Spendthrift Sally. And if you can imagine a picture of her, she's dressed to the nines. She has beautiful hair. She's got the latest designer clothes on. And Spendthrift Sally, she's spends a lot of money, and she's an impulsive buyer. And so she's the one that wants to keep up with the Joneses. So her kids are clothed in Gap or in Old Navy, or she shops at Macy's. You know, her husband has to have the best, you know, suits and ties. That Spendthrift Sally, she has the fear of missing out. So the reason why they spend so much is because they want to make sure they have the latest and greatest. But the problem with a Spendthrift Sally is they tend to spend more than they make. And when that happens is, you know, it leads to a lot of feelings of guilt and anxiety, and they kind of have a lack of control. And the other part about a Spendthrift Sally is they'll buy something and they'll say, oh, I'll take it back later. And then they do, however, when they take that back later to the department store or wherever, they just end up buying more. So that's kind of the outline of a spendthrift Sally. So it spends a lot of money, an impulsive buyer, fear of missing out. They spend more than they make, and then it just leads to feelings of guilt and anxiety and lack of control. Now, there is a famous person out there, Ellen DeGeneres, and she is actually a spendthrift Sally, but she's like the flip side of spendthrift Sally because she actually has the money to do it, whether it makes sense or not. So Ellen DeGeneres, you know, obviously she makes quite a bit of money, but what happens is she read an article about her. She bought a house in, I think it was Bel Air, and she didn't need the house. She has two other houses, but she just wanted to buy it because everybody who's in the show business owns a house in Bel Air. So she wanted to be an owner as well. But what came down to it is later on she decided to sell it, and she had never, ever moved in and taken – she took possession of it, but she never moved in and actually lived there. So famous person who's a spendthrift Sally is Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, so the second money type, I call him Cheap Chip. And as you can imagine, Cheap Chip, he is wears the same clothes over and over again. He has his favorite pair of camo shorts and an unmatched shirt and t-shirt that he wears. And it's just because it still looks good, he thinks. And it's because he doesn't want to spend money on himself. So he's a cheap chip. So he just keeps wearing the same stuff over and over again, whether it's in style or not. So kind of complete opposite of spendthrift Sally. And some characteristics of cheap chip is they don't like to spend money, so they hoard it. And as a point of confession, I am a cheap chip. So I'm one of those people, I like having money in my accounts. I don't like to see money go out of my accounts. Even though I know that I need to spend money on things, I take a lot of time. So cheap chips do a lot of research and take a lot of time looking for the best deal. So what happens sometimes with that is you miss out on opportunities because you're always looking for the best deal. Or you may know those people that they'll clip coupons and then they'll drive to five different grocery stores to be able to use those coupons, not realizing that they're actually spending more in gas than if they would just shop at one store and get it all there. So the other thing about cheap chips are they're scarcity minded and they have a fear of not having enough. So the reason why we like to have the money in our bank account is because, oh, that brings peace to us, seeing that we have money, that we have money in our savings, that we have money that we can fall back on. And so cheap chip, just in recap, doesn't like to spend money, hoards it. They do a lot of research because they're always looking for the best deal, and then they're scarcity minded and they have a fear of not having enough. So some famous people who are cheap chips are Warren Buffett. His net worth is $52 billion, but he continues to drive a 2001 Lincoln Town Car because why buy a new one when it still works? Ingvar Kamprad, he is the owner of IKEA, and his net worth is $33 billion, and he still drives a 1993 Volvo. Jim Walton, we all know who he is. He's the owner and founder of Walmart. Net worth of the Walmart company is $16.8 billion, and when he was still alive, he was driving a 2002 Dodge Dakota. And then Steve Ballmer, who used to be one of the founders of Microsoft, his net worth is $15 billion, and he still drives a 1998 Lincoln Continental. So you can see that wealth has nothing to do with the money types. It has to do with your way of thinking. So the next money type is overgenerous Olivia. And overgenerous Olivia is a woman. If you can imagine her, she's dressed in a dress that was made out of pajama material because she spends more time giving gifts and buying things for other people instead of doing things for herself. So she usually doesn't buy new things. She'll take things and repurpose them. And so, like I said, if you could imagine her, she would just be in some type of repurposed outfit. And the characteristics of Overgenis Olivia is they're a big giver. And like I said, they do it at their own expense. So these are the people that, you know, they're always taking food to people, even though they may not have enough money to do that, or they're buying a bunch of toys and that kind of stuff for their grandkids, even though they're on a fixed income. So I have some clients, his wife is like that. So she's an overgenerous Olivia, and she spends, you know, money that she really doesn't have because she's on a fixed income, and it's at the expense of maybe sometimes her not getting her medication, and that's not a good thing. So the reason why they're overgenerous, though, is because they give because it feels good. They like the praise and the thank yous from the people that they give things to, so that's why they do it. And then they're all, but on the flip side, they're a horrible receiver. So they're also the people, oh no, you don't need to do that for me. They're also the people that you would go out to dinner with, and they're always buying. They're always paying for the dinner, and they say, oh, you can get me next time. And then the next time you go out, and they pay again. So, and then one of the biggest characteristics of the overgenerous Olivia is they believe that others deserve more, and that's why they do what they do. So a famous person who is an overgenerous Olivia, but yet she, again, has the finances to do it, is Oprah. So she has given away in excess of $40 million in her lifetime since Oprah, the show came about. You know, she owns the OWN network, and then she has obviously her magazine. But the point of her being an overgenerous Olivia is she knew she was an overgenerous Olivia, and she decided to go into a business or create an organization that could foster her being an overgenerous Olivia. Now, the next money type is, his name is Delusional Dan. And the reason why he's called Delusional Dan, if you can imagine, is he's kind of a split personality. So he dresses, he actually is a nerd. So if you can imagine a nerdy guy with, you know, shirt and jeans on and horn-rimmed glasses, but in his mind, he thinks he looks like a fashion model that's dressed in a nice suit with a nice tie. And the reason why he's called Delusional Dan is, like I said, is he's super flashy in his mind, but he's actually a nerd. And sometimes you'll see them dressed super flashy, even though they don't have, you know, the confidence on the inside to actually be the person that they want people to see. And they tend to act like they have a lot. So they'll wear the fancy clothes, they'll drive the nice car, and that's not necessarily equal to what their background looks like. And another characteristic of a delusional Dan is they jump into opportunities without really researching anything. So again, by my own admission, I'm a delusional Dan, which you would say, well, how could you be a cheap chip and a delusional Dan at the same time? It's kind of a little of a dichotomy, and sometimes you can be the opposite as your secondary. So Delusional Dan is my secondary because I do jump into opportunities. And, for example, I bought a Darren Hardy online course probably a year ago, and it was such a great price. And I researched other ones, and I just really liked Darren Hardy that I went ahead and purchased it anyway, even though I know that I am terrible about doing online courses. And to this day, I still haven't gone back and gone through the course. So we tend to jump into opportunities, even though, you know, because they think, oh, it's such a great deal. So the delusional Dan kind of goes along with the cheap chip because you want a great deal, whether you're going to do the work to go along with that or not. And one person who is a delusional Dan, and I'm not sure if you guys know him, but his name is Grant Cardone, and he is the guy that's in, that has written about the 10X principles, how to 10X your business. And a little bit about him, if you don't know his background, is he's really a delusional Dan because he, at one point in his life, was homeless and he was addicted to drugs. And had he not been a delusional Dan and thought that he could pull himself out of that and one day be a successful person, he would still be where he was at. So now he is a multimillionaire, and he actually lives in the house that he's always dreamed that he wanted to live in. So he's an example of a delusional Dan. And then the last one of the types is Avoider Alice. And if you can imagine what she looks like, she's the type that has a blindfold over her face. And the characteristics of an Avoider Alice is they're blind to money. So that's why they have a blindfold on. And you'll find in relationships, one of the person is normally an Avoider Alice or an Avoider Al, and the other person is not. So they want somebody else to take care of them. They are blind to money because it causes them anxiety and stress and tension. They think, well, you know, they know more than me about the money situation. So as long as, you know, I pretend like I understand what they're talking about, you know, I want them to make sure that they take care of me, so they kind of have the feelings that someone else will take care of me, and that's why they don't really get into the finances, and they kind of have their head in the sand about, you know, what finances are. And I talked to a gal, she's not a client of mine, but she was a prospective client, and through talking with her, I found out she was a total Avoider Alice, because I would ask her questions about, you know, if you did business with me, are you the decision maker? And she said, well, no, because I don't really, I'm not in charge of our finances. Even though I have my own business, my husband still takes care of everything. So I have to kind of run my purchases through him. And I thought that was an interesting thing to find out about her, because it's like, well, wow, you own your own business, but yet you have to have somebody else make the decisions for you, and you could miss out on something if they don't understand why you need it for your business. So in the end, what does this all mean? So you got these five money types out there. You have heard a little bit about what their characteristics are, and maybe you feel like you can see yourself in some of those characters. And so what does it all mean? What's it come down to? I just am here to say it's not who you are or what you are. It's just patterns. So it's patterns of money behavior that I've put into categories in a fun way. And like I said, if you could see the PowerPoint, I actually use Barbie dolls as my visuals. And so it's just patterns around your behaviors with money. And know that opposites attract. So I alluded to that earlier, where you could be one of each type, but opposites attract in marriages and in partnerships as well. So it leads to help you to understand each other. So you might be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm a cheap chip. And then, oh, my spouse, he's a delusional Dan. So that's why we have the issues that we have around money. He's always wanting to spend everything without really researching it. And I just feel like we need to research everything. So knowledge is power. So I caution you that to know your own first. So like I said, I do have a free money type quiz that I can send to you after the call that will help you understand exactly which money type you are, your dominant and your secondary characteristic. And then you can understand through connecting with me. I go into these different money types a little bit deeper in my one-on-one conversations with people. And just know that you need to understand your own first, and then I'm happy to let you share the quiz with whoever you want to, but you're going to have this, you're going to want to go around and start typing people, because now you have just enough knowledge to know who they are, and you're going to say something like, oh, they're a delusional Dan, oh, they're an Avoider Al, And you don't want to label people without them understanding why you're calling them what you're calling them. And the last thing is basically this, the clarity of your type can transform not only yourself and your feelings and what you do around money, but it can also transform how you then translate that into business. Because if you can, through a conversation with people within a couple of minutes, even though I've cautioned you about this, kind of type who they are, you can understand, okay, they're a cheap chip. They're going to want to research. So I don't want to push them to make a decision today. This might be the client that I need to say, okay, I'm going to give you 24 hours to make a decision. But in the meantime, you can put a deposit down and I'll save that space for you. So that's an example. So here's some quick tips for success when it comes to all of the five money types. So with the spendthrift Sally, since they like to spend money all the time, I just caution them to wait a day to buy. So if they think to themselves, do I really need that new dress? Do I really need those new pair of shoes? If they wait a day to buy, then perhaps they probably won't buy it, and then they'll end up, you know, in the long run saving money. Cheap chip. You're going to have to force yourself to buy. So that's what I do. I force myself to buy. So I knew that through the last year, I've struggled to get speaking engagements because I just don't have the time or the know-how on how to contact people. So I finally broke down and hired a PR lady to book speaking engagements for me, and it's the best money that I've ever spent. So it took me a long time to come to that decision, and I did miss out because it took me too long to do some of my speaking engagements, get them booked. Overgenerous Olivia, quick tip for success for them is you want to treat yourself to something. So instead of buying something for somebody else or giving somebody else something, you want to take yourself to the spa. You want to go get that massage. Instead of giving the gift certificate to someone else to go get a massage, you want to do that yourself. Delusional Dan, quick tip is you want to take action. So delusional Dan's, you know, like they said, the pie in the sky, they think things are just going to happen. They think they just throw things into the universe and they will come. Yes, to a point you can do that. And I do believe in, you know, the power of the universe, but you do have to take some action around the things that you say that you want to have in your life. And Avoider Alice, you actually want to take a look at your money. You need to dig into the checkbook. You need to maybe do a spreadsheet, maybe all those things that you hate to do. You're going to want to take a look at your money at least once a month and, you know, kind of see what's happening with your money. So that is pretty much the end of my talk. So we can go ahead and open it up for questions. I do, like I said, have a free money type quiz I can send to people, and sure would love to get people's information and send that to you. So, questions.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Wow. Thanks for, first of all, making it so much fun and sharing your amazing insights about the five money types. I always enjoy these calls so much more when I'm hosting the calls versus when we do our actual events, because I can, as I mentioned to you before, I can take notes, and I love the way you outlined your talk. It made it really easy to be able to take notes and understand the different money types. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So I love the way you make the five money types so fun and relatable. And as I'm listening, I could, even without taking the quiz, I can kind of see, okay, I'm a composite of this one and that one, and maybe a little smattering of this other one, right? So that's fun. And it's nice to be able to do it in a humorous way, because sometimes money could be daunting and feel heavy and make us feel bad. So I love the way you made it kind of humorous and, you know, so we could really have a little bit better perspective on what we are.
Yeah, it's like I said, I think it makes it fun. That's why I use Barbie dolls, because it's just, these money is things that people don't like to talk about. And I think if you can make it funny or enjoyable and figure out what who you are and why you do what you do, it just makes it that much easier to talk about money.
Yes, absolutely. So I just unmuted everyone. And so if anyone has any questions, this is a perfect opportunity to be able to share with Karen your ahas, your insights, and most importantly, any questions you have. So feel free to jump in if you have a question.
Well, I'll jump in. This is Chuck.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chuck.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, it looks like I'm kind of a cross between the cheap chip and the overgenerous Olivia, which I find kind of interesting. Because I really like to, explore things, evaluate, analyze before I buy. But on the other hand, I'll give freely to anybody who needs help, or I think they need help. So I'm really bad about that. So
do you do it? Do you do it with money more, or do you do it more with your time when you say that you're an overgenerous Olivia?
Well, generally with time, but with money too. I'm the kind of guy that when I go someplace and they're looking for donations, I always give people donations.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And if they want $25, I give $50, because I always want to support whatever I decide to do. And I shouldn't be doing that, but I do it. So then Go ahead. No, then the other thing is I'm kind of surprised when you say opposites attract, like in marriage and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if I was in a relationship with somebody and they were like a spendthrift, it would probably bother me a lot,
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, and sometimes in relationships you do have that one person that buys a lot. So before I got divorced, my ex was a spendthrift Sally, and I'm a cheap chip. Uh-huh. And so that was a huge, complete opposites of each other, and it causes issues in marriages when one is like that, or any type of relationship. It could be mother and child. It could be father and child. It could be husband and wife, partners, work partners. It could be anything, and it does. It just drives you crazy because you're like, why are they like that? This is a way to identify these types of people, I think, and to help you kind of understand why they do what they do.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm not so cheap. I've always been more generous, so I'm not so cheap that I like have my first two nickels. I'm not like that. But it would. I don't like people like that either, that are so cheap they won't do anything. I mean,
right?
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Exactly. And they miss out on things. Cheap chips can miss out on things because they're never wanting to spend money, so they don't go on that trip. So when I was in the military, we went to France, and we were in Marseille, and we had the weekend free, and a bunch of us decided to take the bullet train up to Paris. And there was a bunch of guys that said, oh, no, I want to save my per diem, and I'm just going to sit in my room in the barracks. And I'm like, when are you ever going to be back in France in your life? When? Why would you do that? So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I get it because, I kind of have the philosophy is, smartly spend your money because you can't take it with you,
Correct.
So.
Yep.
Right? You got to live life experiences, You can't sit. I got cured of that sitting in your room and not spending your per diem in the military. Mm-hmm. I got swept up a couple of times. I was sitting in there. All my buddies would go to the bar or go out for the weekend. I'd sit in the barracks. Guess what happened to me? I got swept up for guard duty, kitchen duty, administration duty. That cured me.
Yeah, exactly.
Funny. They put you to work.
They did. You got nothing to do. We got something for you.
Exactly.
That's a good way to cure that.
Yeah, it took me 3 times, but then I got the hint.
That's funny. So anybody else with questions? Thank you, Chuck, for chiming in. That was great.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. That was great.
Yeah.
Anyone with questions or insights like Chuck about yourself, that's the fun part, is that you can relate it to yourself and have a better understanding. Oh, that's why I do that.
Yeah, I think we asked last time any aha moments from anybody. Did anybody have any aha moments as I was talking through the types?
Yeah, any great epiphanies? One thing I noticed that you said, Karen, I thought was intriguing, is it doesn't really matter who you are, you know, in terms of your types. It's more being able to understand why you do what you do, right? I've heard you say that a couple times. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I don't want people to get in the trap of you know, putting a label on themselves. This is just a fun way to understand, you know, why you do the things with money. And that's why I don't want you to make – people have issues with money as it is. So I just don't want people to make it, you know, all about money. This is – understanding that it's just a way to recognize why you do the things that you do and then perhaps make a change.
Okay, so you're unlike a lot of different, you know, types or styles that are very, very popular right now, understanding personality styles and stuff. What I've heard you say also is that you can, even though you can identify with one of these five types, you're not like, that's not like your destiny forever or your, you know what I mean? Your label forever.
No.
You can change it, right?
Right. So now that I know that I'm a cheap chip, I have changed. I realize that I get into these ruts. And so then it's like, I do, okay, Karen, you know that you're a cheap chip. You know that you need to hire someone for PR. You know that even though you love your money, you're going to have to spend a little bit every month to get some things done that you need to have done to further your business. So I have these conversations with myself all the time. So it's not like you ever quit being what your type
right.
is. It's just that you understand how to get yourself out of it.
That's a good one. I love that. I love that. So knowledge is power, right? Being able to identify what, you know, kind of where you land and then be able to self-talk yourself out of it. You know, kind of like you said with the, which one was it? Where you treat yourself to something, overgenerous Olivia.
Overgenerous Olivia,
you know,
yeah.
You're giving things to other people and it's like, you know what, I'm going to, because I can relate to that one. I'm a gift giver. I love giving gifts for people. I'm always out shopping. Decorating is my biggest challenge right now for the holidays because it snuck up on me, but my gift, you know, I've been buying gifts for people all year long. But I'm just noticing the last couple of years, I am having that self-talk with myself of, okay, you know, I need a massage. I need, you know, different things, which I normally don't have those conversations with myself in terms of what I need. I'm usually thinking of other people, but, It does take some self-talk. I can identify with that.
Well, definitely, because, you know, you'll stay in the cycle of always giving, 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 and at some point you have to figure out, okay, me, I'm just as important as everybody else, and I need to treat myself to something.
Right.
And sometimes it's the power of saying no. A lot of overgenerous Olivias are the ones that always say yes to doing every opportunity, whether it fits into their schedule or whether it's really something that they should be doing. So, for example, my PR lady, she was going to book me a talk. And then after talking through with her, I said, I don't think that that's the right venue for my five money types. It's not going to go over well in that area. So I don't think we should book that talk. So even though I was excited to have another speaking engagement for next year, I actually had her go turn it down. So
that's good. You have that conversation with yourself that has you be clear.
Correct.
So that's great. That's awesome. Great. So any other questions, ahas, insights, epiphanies about who you are and maybe some insights on how you can adjust, you know, how you deal with money as a result? So Karen, I have a question for you. How did you come up with these five money types? Was this something you created on your own or that you gleaned?
I gleaned. It's not something I created on my own. I actually have hired a coach, a business coach in the past. And I don't know if you guys noticed, I gave her credit in my slides. Her name is Robin Crane, and she is a great money coach and business coach. And she came up with this talk, and she said, go out and use it because people need to understand this stuff. And it's like, sweet, I will take it. Because it fits in with, you know, it helped me. And so now I like to turn around and teach it to people with her blessing because she knows that we understand the concepts of it. So
right. Oh, that's fun. That's great. Thank you. I'm glad I asked, and that's fun that you have the credibility behind you of somebody who's in that, you know, in your field as well, who understands the power of these concepts.
Yeah, so she's the creative one that came up with the Barbie doll idea and that kind of stuff. And
mm-hmm.
and then I just honed it into my presentation. So, yes,
well,
total credit to Robin Green.
Fun, and great job on that. So I'm going to give everybody a last call for any questions or insights they want to share before we wrap up this call here.
Well, hi, this is Gail. I just want
to say
that, hey, I'm a generous Olivia. I buy everybody everything. I just wish I knew some because nobody ever buys me anything.
Well, you know, you can take care of that by buying something for yourself.
I know, that's
true.
But no, I'm like Olivia in that, you know, I enjoy the compliments when I do buy people things like lunch or gifts when they don't really expect it. And you know, I do enjoy having the kind words. But I also do it because I feel like I'm very fortunate, and you know, sometimes it's more of a treat for them than it is for me to give. So anyway, I enjoy your categories, and I think it was a lot of fun to listen to. So very entertaining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And
well,
just
thank
understand
you guys.
That I was just going to say, just understand as an overgenerous
sure.
Olivia, if you've got the monetary side of it to back it, it's not a bad thing to be an overgenerous Olivia. Like we talked about, or I talked about, Oprah is one. She just knows I am an overgenerous Olivia, so therefore I need to do something to be able to back the fact that I love to give things away to people. So it's not a bad thing at all.
Okay. Well, awesome. Thank you guys for your insights and questions. And so Karen, tell us more about what's up next for you. So you mentioned you're being, you know, you're open to and booking speaking engagements. So if there's any opportunities out there that our listeners have, you know, you're welcome to contact Karen. And Karen, your website is womanontop.biz. Is that right?
Correct. Woman
okay.
with AN. Yes.
With an A-N, yes, W-O-M-A-N, ontop.biz. So they can go to your website and share with us other ways that our listeners can keep in touch with you and how to work with you, maybe get your book.
Most of that stuff's on the website. So if you go to the womanontop.biz, there's a landing page that will take you to how to purchase the book. There's a page there that I'll be updating with my future speaking engagements. Just as a side note, I will be speaking Exceptional Connections Vancouver next year. I believe it's
Yay.
In July, if I remember right. So yeah, so next year we'll I'm trying to book things in the Seattle, Vancouver, Portland, kind of West Coast side. So
nice.
I will also have some speaking engagements in Nebraska. That's just because I was born and raised there, and my grandson and my son live there, and so I take my speaking engagements on the road as well, because I just like to do things when I'm in town.
Great. That's a, yeah, business write-off also, right?
It is, yeah.
That's nice.
So they can get in contact with me through there, and
okay.
I did set up a new email. You can also email me at Karen. Karen at womanontap.biz is my email address. So if
awesome.
Anybody would like, if anybody would like the money quiz, I'd be happy to send that to them. Just shoot me an email and title it money quiz, and I will get that off to you.
Perfect. Yeah, I'll be sending that off to you also, because I didn't get it. I didn't take care of that after our last luncheon. So how about some, we'd love to hear parting words from you, Karen. So thank you again so much for sharing with our December Exceptional Connections Woodinville community. I'm so excited that you'll be able to, our Vancouver chapter community will be able to hear you next year in 2020. And again, thank you for being part of this call, and we'll do a replay that will be on the website as well. So what parting words do you want to leave our listeners with as we head into the holidays?
Well, I just want people to understand that money doesn't have to be a bad thing in your life. It can be a good thing. And you'll probably hear some quaint things about 2020, but I hope that your year 2020 gives you 2020 vision for your money and how you maybe want to change how you either spend or keep your money in the next decade.
Nice. Well, thank you, Karen. You're awesome. I appreciate you, and I'm so glad that you were able to be a speaker for us. We love having you as part of our community, and wishing you the best the holiday season, and everyone on this call as well. Before we wrap up, I just want to give you a rundown of our exceptional speaker lineup for 2020, especially for January 2020. So for Woodinville, on Tuesday, January 14th, our spotlight speaker is Debbie Page. And Debbie Page is, again, a valued member of our community, and she's going to be sharing about the 7 steps to success: raise your purpose, raise your revenue, and raise your profit. So we're looking forward to a sold-out event. Debbie's one of our premier speakers, and so make sure you register by the end of the month to not only get the early bird special, but also to save your seat. I'm kind of going out of order here, but so we meet on the second Tuesday. On the second Thursday, just happens to fall on January 9th, and so at our Vancouver chapter, the spotlight speaker will be Kristen Thompson, and she's going to be doing a talk about rocking the stage. And it's not just for speakers. It's for all of us who have clients and have opportunities to be visible. She's going to give us some insights to be just take things to the next level. So, but wait, there's more. We have our first skill shop. I mentioned quarterly skill shops that we host at Exceptional Connections, and our first skill shop will be offered by Dawn Jones on Tuesday, January 28th. She's going to be talking about successful selling to different personality styles. And right now it's being hosted at the Pizza Coop and Ale House, our Woodinville venue. So Dawn is going to be talking about the Power Pack Skill Shop and how it gives us insights and skills to effectively sell to anyone, anytime, anywhere. Whether your business is face-to-face, online, or on the phone, you'll learn how to confidently have the right conversations with the people you want and to sell without wasting your time with being unproductive meetings or phone tags and email replies. So Dawn is a valued member of our community who, unfortunately, has a full-time gig with as a coach and trainer, and she's going to be coming back to offer this for us. So be sure to circle back with me if you want a seat at our event. And I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a wonderful 2020, full of blessings, and remember to make every connection an exceptional connection. So thanks for staying on the line, guys, and look forward to being able to see you in the new year. So thank you, Karen. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Chuck.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Gail. I know
thank
that Karen
you.
Had some listeners as well. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.